Can we welcome our speaker? Our speaker today is, I want to make sure I say it right, Royer H.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, my name's Royer. I'm an addict.
Royer!
Man, I'm grateful to be clean. I'm grateful to be here. And thank you guys for putting this on. This is amazing. I'd like to welcome all the newcomers. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. This is an incredible, incredible program. Please stick around and don't leave before the miracle happens. I'd like to thank everybody. They've been trying to get me out here for like 4 years. I want to thank Mike, Tiffany, everybody that's been of service to help set up. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. It really means a lot to me to be invited anywhere. Now, where I come from, they were just telling me to leave and go away. I just celebrated 15 years clean April the 1st. I still can't believe I got 15 years clean. I have a sponsor that has a sponsor. We love working out of the literature. We got step studies. Right now we're working out of our Guided Principles book, and we're just kicking ass, you know. We're doing what we do around here. My sponsor makes it really clear to me. If I don't have an H&I commitment, if I'm not being a service to NA, I better not be sharing at meetings. Just tone it down a little bit. So he says, if I want to stay clean, get a commitment and stick around and put the effort in that I did when I was out there using. So that's what I've been doing for 15 years. And you know what? It's working. It's working. I didn't look like this when I first came in here. My hygiene was bad. We all know how to use. So I just want to identify so the newcomers will know that I struggled when I got here to Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't believe this program was going to work for me. I was different. I was from the streets. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I was in a violent neighborhood. And you guys talked about narcotics. That's why I liked NA, because I heard the name narcotics. So I figured I could score here. So I was tripped out when I got to Narcotics Anonymous. You guys were sharing a message of hope, and I had no hope when I got here. All my dreams were shattered. I was spiritually bankrupt, and I got stories for days, but I'll just tell the at the end of the road, you know. It wasn't fancy hotels anymore. It wasn't Harley Davidsons and lowriders. I was in a 1965 Ford Falcon, and it wasn't working anymore. And I was sleeping in it. And one of my good days were I had a little bit of stash left, and I could smell the hygiene. So I got out of the car and I found a water hose, and I took a quick bath. And when I did that, I got back in the Ford Falcon, and I was like, I got a little bit of stuff. I go, I'm on top of the world. And I really thought at that moment that I had it going on. I was so in the grips of the disease of addiction that I hit the end of the road. And so what happened was I saw people getting clean. I didn't think it was going to work for me. And I heard you guys talking about get a sponsor, go to 90 meetings in 90 days, be of service, dip into the literature, work the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, and this program will work. And I remember thinking, I'm from the streets. You guys are sniveling about drugs. This program's not going to work for me. I'm a violent individual. I have hatred in my heart, and I don't like anybody. So I don't know how this program is going to work for me. So I separated myself right from the beginning. So I want to say to the newcomer, and anybody with multiple years clean, I'm just an addict in recovery, and I fight to stay clean every single day. It's just a daily reprieve for me. So please, soften your heart, and I'm just carrying my message. And so please, it's the similarities, not the differences. And with that said, I'm entirely grateful to be clean. This program worked for me. And I'll talk about my mom, but I get emotional with my mom, so I'll bring her up later. Because I'm a mama's boy, you know what I mean? I'm a tough gangster, but I'm a mama's boy. I remember me and my mom used to get into it when I was using, and she was just like, I'm going to throw you out of the house. And I was like, Mom, you can't throw me out. I'm your son. She was like, I'll throw you out. You keep using. I go, you can't throw me out. I'm only 32 years old. I'm a mama's boy. I ain't going far, you know what I mean? So I remember I'll talk about the disease just for a second, and I'll dip into some recovery. I remember at the end of the end, I tried to get clean. I tried treatment. It didn't work. I got thrown out because of my anger. Huh, wouldn't you know? I had no program, you know? So I get thrown out of treatment, and I was almost done. It was a deal that I made with the judge. He was, it was the old regular. I come from a lifestyle like using, abusing, finding ways and means to get more. I just used to live, and it was just this revolving circle where I had to use just to function. So what happened with me was that it was just another typical day, another get high, and it was in San Diego. I couldn't get clean in Los Angeles, so I did geographical, and I took off to Mexico. And I got thrown out of Mexico. So I'm thinking, nobody's got my story in Narcotics Anonymous, you know what I mean? And then I hear a couple addicts, man, I got thrown out of Mexico. I'm like, damn! We've all been through it, so the storm's coming, the storm is coming. And the storm for me was my mom. That was my biggest storm, and my sponsor prepared me for it. And we started working the steps, and we started getting, digging deep. But the way I ended up in treatment was, I was in downtown San Diego. It was on Ash and Front, the heart of downtown. It was on Elm and Front. And I'm sitting there, and it's starting to rain, and I'm sitting by these chairs. And I think it was the water that hit my body, and then my shirt got wet, and I could kind of like smell the hygiene. And you're looking at it like a gangster, you know what I mean? I used to crease my shirt for like 45 minutes, you know what I mean? I would iron my pants for like an hour and a half. Bonnaroo, you know what I mean? I'd cuff the bottom of the pants. I was slick. But what happened was with the disease of addiction is that it took me down, man. I couldn't win the fight. And like what happened was, it was ways and means to get more, and I'm sitting on these staircases, and it started to rain. And I don't know, you're on a come down from the methamphetamine, and you get all emotional sometimes, So it's one of those days, it's raining, and I start, and I'm starting to cry, and I'm hitting the bottom. It's a bottom. So I'm starting to cry, and I'm looking around, and I'm just like, this is what my life has become. I'm homeless, And I put my head down, and this is a spiritual program, not a religious one. I'll put that right out there. So I'm sitting on the staircases, and I was just, I put my head down, and I said, God, if you're out there, I'm asking for help right now. I'm done. I'm done, and I want to get clean. I'm tired of my mom crying. I'm tired of my mom suffering. I'm tired of her not sleeping that night because I'm on the street using, abusing. Please help me. And I put my head down, and I was getting all these thoughts in my head. You see, there ain't no God. There ain't no higher power. Ain't nothing happening. Ain't no burning bush. And I continued to cry. And I remember I heard some noise, right? So I hear the noise, and I look up, and there's this flashing light in my face. I mean, there's a big light flashing in my face. And I look, and it's cold, and it's raining. And I look, and I said, God, is that you? He said, this is the San Diego Police Department. Put your hands up. So they cuffed me, and off I went. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, what kind of joke is this? You know what I mean? Anyway, I ended up in another treatment facility, another one. And they said, this is treatment. Recovery starts when you get out. So here's recovery. You know, I get out of treatment, and I'm going to meetings, and I start hanging out with the men, and they start telling me, you got a sponsor? And I'm like, yeah, I got two. They're like, no, man, you got a sponsor, dude? I was like, not really, man. But I've worked the steps. He goes, when did you work the steps if you ain't got no sponsor? I was like, every time I go to the meetings, they got the steps on the wall, man. You know what I'm saying? I work them puppies a lot. He was like, that's not the way you work the steps, bro. He's like, well, you're going to have to get a sponsor. I was like, well, I feel uncomfortable reaching out to a man. And why am I? I'll get a girl's phone number, but I ain't going to give a man's number. And he was like, look, man, stop being all tough, man. You better let that ego go. If you want to stay clean, you got to do if you want what we got, you got to do the things that we do. And so we get down and we work the steps and the 12 steps on Narcotics Anonymous here in here in NA. And I was like, all right, man, I'll give it a shot. You know, so I started calling this man, and we started to work the steps. And what happened with this guy, he was a trip. Because he said, he goes, when you work the first step, and you complete it, you come to my house and I'm going to cook you steak. I was like, you're going to cook me steak? He was like, yeah, I'm going to cook you some sirloin steak and we're going to work your first step. You guys know what I mean? A free meal? Man, I was on it. I started working the first step and I completed the first step. And I went to this gentleman's house. I'm an addict. Here's the story. He goes, bring some shorts. So I'm like, all right, cool, man. I'm bringing my step work, the first step. What do you want some shorts for? He's like, because I got a nice place with a big jacuzzi and a pool, and we're going to work the steps, and we're going to go for a dip in the jacuzzi, you know what I mean? And the first thing that goes on in my mind, he wants sexual activities with you. It's going down, you know? I'm a gangster, but I did some things in the hood that I'm ashamed of. A 20's a 20. I don't know why I said that. Is this going to be on CD? I'd be like, I thought you were a gangster. I was. Anyway, man, I started working the steps with this man, and this guy, he blew me away. He did. He blew me away. That wasn't even my pitch, man. That came out wrong. Anyway, he blew my mind away when he said I did a thorough first step. I told the truth. And what I tripped out on this man was, when he cooked me the steak, we hit the jacuzzi, and all throughout that time I was waiting for the hit, you know? I thought the grab was coming, but it never came, you know what I mean? But I do remember something, man. When we got done, he goes, "Hey, wash the dishes." And I felt disrespected by that, man. I was like, "What do you mean wash the dishes?" He was like, "Fool, I cooked you meal, man. I sat here for like 2 hours listening to your..." He goes, "Half of your first step was just bullshit." I poured my heart out. He was like, "Man, it was all diseased out, man." He goes, "Let's keep working the steps." So we started working the steps. We worked the second step, you know. I came to believe, you know, and then I surrendered. And then we just started to get down. And I was just like, I have an issue with this God thing, man. He goes, "Don't worry about it." He goes, "Just believe that I believe, and it's going to be all right." He goes, "There's a lot of guys that you that have issues with this. We'll come to that later. Right now, we're just a complete surrender. Do you believe and understand that you can't use one, just one of anything?" I go, "Yes, I believe." He goes, "Boom. You've surrendered. Let's move on." So we started working the steps, and I'll never forget this. He made a thorough first step with me. He says, "Your reservations, buddy, we need to get busy. What are they?" I was like, "I ain't got none." I was like, "Oh, dude, you're so delusional." He's like, he goes, "Think about, say you get some clean time and something happens. Can you stay clean through it?" And I'm thinking, man, this is like school, man. This is too much for me. He's like, "Just seriously, get honest." He goes, "Can you stay clean?" He goes, "Just take a few minutes and think about it." So I was thinking about it. And he goes, "What about, I have a kid, you know. I got a kid. I got a big child support bill. That's a whole... The mother of my son, she shot me with a gun. You know what I'm saying?" And I put that on my step work. And he goes, my sponsor was like, "Well, wait a minute. What happened?" I was like, "Well, the mother of my son, she shot me with a gun." He goes, "And what did you think when she shot you with the gun?" I go, "Well, she loves me. She showed me that she loved me because she shot me." He goes, "No, bro. She was telling you it was over. She wants nothing to do with you, and she was willing to kill your ass to let you know." He was like, "You're twisted, bro." He goes, "We need to do a lot of step work." He goes, cut the BS and let's get busy. I was like, okay. So we started, and I remember the reservation was my mother, and the reservation was my son. If something happened to them two people, all bets are off. 12 step, right out the window. I will use again. So we did a lot of work on that area, you know, about the reservation for my mom. And the reason I like to share that is for the newcomers and people, the storm is coming. The storm is coming. And I needed to be prepared. And we dug deep and we did the work. And me and my mom, man, we got along. And I started to get 1 year clean. I work the steps, I'm doing H&I, I'm being of service, I'm getting down. My mom's calling me all the time. 2 years down the road, "Bro, how you doing?" So I'm like, "Well, I'm doing good, Mom. I'm hitting an H&I panel, I'm carrying the message." She was like, "Hey, son, why do you like doing so much H&I? I go, "It's one of the requirements that my sponsor told me." He gave me a few subtle commands, straight not to do. "Don't mess with the newcomer girl. Be of service and go to meetings. And keep it real with myself. Because you guys don't care who my connections were, what I've done in the past. The only thing you care about is my problem and how you guys could help me." And he made that very clear to me. And I used to share that with my mom. And she would be like, wait a minute. "So you go to these meetings in Narcotics Anonymous a lot?" I go, "Well, I did 90 meetings in 90 days. I liked it so much. I've been doing it for 2 years." She goes, "You go to a meeting every single day." I go, "Sometimes I double up, Mama. I love NA." And she was like, "Wow." She goes, "How come that program has helped you stay clean? And I used to whip your ass day and night to tell you to be a good human being, and you never listen to me." I said, Mom, I think that's what the problem was. You were telling me what to do. I'm an addict. When you tell me to do something, I'm going to do the opposite. You tell me to go right, I'm going to go left. You tell me don't do it, I'm going to do it. You tell me I can't stay clean, I'm going to stay clean. I'm an addict. And, yeah. I like talking about my mom. But anyway, I had 3 years clean. I'm going to meetings, and these are one of the last memories I have of my mom. I'm doing H&I panel, and I'm walking in, and it's my mom again. Lovely woman, always checking up on me, because I'm doing so good, you guys. I just want to paint the picture for you guys. I come into Narcotics Anonymous. I'm homeless, penniless. I can't read and I can't write. And I want to make that clear. I couldn't read and I couldn't write. I did so much of whatever the drug was. It doesn't matter here in Narcotics Anonymous. This is just my story. I did so much sniffing of this, using that I had a stuttering problem. And I just, ever since I was a little kid, I was a sniffer. And I just couldn't put sentences together, and I just couldn't read. And when they asked me to read, I'd like turn into this cycle, jump off and go crazy, just because I just ignored that avenue. And I had issues. And when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, it was one of the fears that I had when you guys had worked the steps, because I have a disability with reading and writing, and I just had issues. And my sponsor says, here in Narcotics Anonymous, we love you, and we have CDs that will help you work the 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous. I was like, you guys got CDs? He's like, yeah, I'll give you the CDs. So he gave me the CDs, and I'd go through it with the book, and I really got a deep understanding of Narcotics Anonymous and the program. So I'm working the steps, I'm digging deep, and I'm telling my sponsor, I feel so good, my mom's proud of me, I'm on top of the world. I go, sponsor, I go, this is incredible. I got 3 years clean, I'm of service, I feel so good. And he goes, and how are you feeling about all those your amends? I go, well, I still feel like a piece, man. He goes, because you can't find the people. I go, I'm from L.A., I'm in SD. I'm like, I don't know who the people were. I did a lot of robberies, you know. I got a big child support bill. I just don't know where to start. I have no passport. I'm just a loser. I can't read. I'm never going to. He goes, how many felonies you got? One, two, three. I go, I don't know. I need a couple more hands to help me out counting. And he was like, man, we'll do something with you. You're going to be all right. There's a lot of people in Narcotics Anonymous that have issues like you. And it's going to be okay. And he goes, I want you to make a list of some of the things you want. One, from me as a sponsor. And two, a list that you want out of your life, out of Narcotics Anonymous. I said, I'll do that. I said, you know I got issues with this writing thing. Will you help me? He goes, that's what we do. I'm going to help you. So we did the list. And I was proud of my list. He looked at the list and he goes, okay. He goes, what you want out of me is you want that fancy car I got and all this money. I go, that's what I want. He was like, what are the good things you see in me? I go, well, you always take me out to go eat and cook me steaks when I work a step. And I always see you reaching out to the newcomer, and you always take the newcomer to go eat. And you always reach in your pocket and give the newcomer $20. And what? I go, how do you do that? And he goes, this is what we do. We give it, and we get tenfold back. I go, then I want that. He goes, if you want that, then you do the things that I do, and you're doing really good. You got 3 years, keep doing it. I said, okay. And then he goes, and let me see your list. So he started out to read my list. Here's my list. I want a Harley Davidson. I want a fancy car. I want a beautiful girl. And I want a couple businesses, and I just want jewels and money. And that was my list. And he ripped it up right in my face. And then he said, come back with a real list. I was like, well, there's a sponsor. I don't understand what the list is. I told you I got some issues. Help me with the list. He goes, the list is some things that you want that are internal. And I was like, oh, man, internal. He goes, inside? I was like, okay, all right. I want a healthy heart. He was like, well, then you're going to have to go to the gym. All right. I want to be happy. He goes, you're angry a lot. And there was this issue with me and my sponsor. Every time I was getting his car, when I was new, coming up on 3 years, it took me a while to get happy. I want to make this clear. Some recover at different paces, and it took me a little longer to bring the happiness, the joyous, and the free to my life. So we used to hang out a lot, and I used to get in his car, and he'd be like, how you feeling today? I go, I'm miserable, man. Anything's not working for me. I feel good for a couple weeks, and now I'm miserable. I want to slit my throat. I'm just depressed, man. He was like, let's talk about it. I was like, let's talk about it. He was just like, how many years did you use? I was like, I was a gangster, man. I lived at my mom's till 32 years old. He was like, so you used for 32 years. I go, at least. I used when I was like 2, my first drug, you know. And then he's just like, so you have 3 years clean. It's going to take some time. You know, you didn't become an addict overnight. You're not going to recover overnight. He goes, and how many times did you use? I go, I used every day. He goes, how many days? I go, like a year, 2 years straight. He goes, then you won't have a problem going to 90 meetings in 90 days. So I was doing that. That's the understanding that I got. So we started to do that. And I told my sponsor, I go, hey, sponsor, I go, I have a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. And to be honest with you, I think that's where my depression comes. I remember all the women that I hurt, all the men that I hurt, all the she-males that I hurt. Hey! He was like, you got some issues, bro. So we started working the steps, and then I told him I was on, you know, H&I doing this, and I told him I wanted to be of service at 3 years clean at another level. I wanted to do service outside of NA just to feel my spirit. And we had that, you know, come to the baby, you know, the baby J talk. He goes, look, a lot of people here in Narcotics Anonymous drift off, and they start heading off to, you know, other places that is not Narcotics Anonymous, and they forget they're an addict. And they use again. I'm asking you to stay plugged in. If you want to be of service at another capacity, just remember to put your program first. So I remembered what he told me, and I told him I wanted to start doing mission trips. So one of my mission trips was I went to Honduras, and I started to build homes for people in poverty. This is third world countries, no electricity, no water, no money, they had no shoes. And I went and I came back and I was fully filled. And I was like, sponsor, it's working. I'm starting to feel good. He goes, good. He goes, do you want to do another mission? I go, I want to do one more. So then I took off to Belize, another third world country, and I was in a mission there. And then I went and then I did a third one. This one was in Honduras up in the jungle. It took us like an hour to get up. People live in the, I don't know if you guys know this, people live to this day up in the mountains with no electricity, no water, no money. They live in poverty. They have chickens that drop eggs. They have pigs, that's where they get their meat. They do handmade tortillas. And then I come back to San Diego, oh, I haven't got a job yet. Oh, they're not paying me enough yet. It changed the way I saw life, the way I viewed it. It just gave me this gratitude just to drink water, to have electricity. And I told my sponsor, I said, wow. I go, I'm so glad I went on these mission trips. He's like, so what do you want to do now? I go, I have filled the void now, and I feel really good. He was like, good, so you could do service here in San Diego for Narcotics Anonymous again. I go, yeah, I'll do that. So, you know, I've been on San Diego Convention Committee for like 10 years. I've been doing H&I since my first, you know, couple. So I've been doing H&I for like 12 years. And I continue to do it. I do it every fourth Thursday, and that's what I do. I do H&I, I carry the message, I have sponsees, and this is what I tell them. I go, if you want what I got, you got to do some of the things that I do. And they're like, well, what is that, sponsor? I go, look, I need you to work your first step. And when you work your first step, I'm going to take you to Go Eat and bring some shorts. I got to start wrapping it up soon, but I wanted to save my mom for the end. And one of those special stories to recovery for the end. But I get really emotional. And I had 3 years clean. And I was walking into an H&I panel, and it was my mom. And I picked up the phone, and it was just her beautiful name. And I answered the phone, and I said, hello? She says, hey, son, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good, Mom. She goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm at the hospital, the VOA, Volunteers of America. I'm going to carry an H&R panel on Narcotics Anonymous. And she says, son, she goes, you love doing that. I go, I love it with a passion. She goes, why do you love it so much? I go, because I walk in there, and people, they think they're all gangsters and stuff, you know what I mean? And they think they're unique and different, and this program's not going to work for them. And I tell them that I used to run the streets, and I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I had no money, and I had nothing. I had two nickels to rub together, nothing. And my life is not that way anymore. And she was like, hey, son, will you make me a promise? I said, before we get into this promise, I go, can I tell you something? She goes, yeah, what's that? I said, hey, Mom, I apologize for all those endless nights you didn't sleep, just worrying, crying, worrying about me. I go, I'm sorry, man. I really am. I want promise to you. I'm going to make it up to you, and I'm going to give you back all that money you paid those attorneys to get me out of jail. And she goes, you know what, son? You don't owe me a dime. She goes, I've been paid 10 times fold to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. So I was like, sweet, I don't owe you no money. So what happened was, I had 3 years clean, I was on top of the world. You guys, my sponsor showed me how to go to court, get my felonies expunged, go and get a passport. He told me to put my Jimmy in my pants and zip it up and focus. Stop treating women the way you treat yourself, setting your standards so low that you never give yourself the opportunity to meet the woman of your dreams. Have some self-respect and hang in there, and the woman of your dreams is going to come. And I was like, sponsor, it's never going to happen for me. I don't know how to treat a woman. I don't know how to treat myself. He goes, yeah, you do. You have 3 years clean now, and it's going to happen for you. Just stay plugged in. Stay with the message. Put the recovery first, and everything's going to happen. So I went to court. The judge goes, why do you want your felonies expunged? They want a good answer. So I gave it to him. I go, I want to start working in the banking industry, and that's with Visa and MasterCard, and I can't have these felonies. I need you to help me out, sir. And he goes, that's a pretty good excuse. My sponsor's in the banking industry. You know, so he was willing to teach me the trade, and so we got the felonies expunged. I went and got my passport, and I used to tell my sponsor, I'm never going to take care of the child. He was like, well, how much is child support? I was like, 40 G's. He's like, that's it? I was like, I don't got 40 G's. He was like, he goes, you know how Narcotics Anonymous is. We chip it at a time. We do it a day at a time, a minute at a time, a second at a time, a moment at a time. Let's call the courts and find out how we could arrange something. So I did that. I called the courts. I said, I owe you 40 grand. Let's make a deal. Believe it or not, you guys, they make deals for money. So we cut a deal, you know what I mean? So we cut a deal. You guys, I started a business. But this is material stuff, so it's not important. So I'll zip right through that. I started a business. I started to make a lot of money. I started to save some money in the bank, and I cut a deal with child support. They would empty out the bank account. They would close the child support deal. So we did the deal, and it was closed. But before the final, I got a call from the San Diego County going, "Mr. Royer, there's been a problem with the deal." I go, "What's the deal?" He was like, "You have a motorcycle in your garage." I'm thinking, how do they know I got a motorcycle in my garage? He was like, "Well, we checked the system and it shows that you have a registered motorcycle in the garage." I was like, "That motorcycle doesn't work. Can I give it to you?" And they just started laughing. "Ha, ha, we don't take motorcycles as a trade. Sell it and give us your money." So I sold the motorcycle, finalized the trade. I paid off child support thanks to Narcotics Anonymous. I stayed single for 5 years, you guys. I'm not recommending you guys to do it. I did it. Because I was tired. If any girl that looked at me, I was like, "That's my girl. We're moving in tomorrow." Oh, she smiled at me. "We got a relationship." I waited, you guys. I waited. I gave myself the opportunity. You guys told me to do that. You know, our message is hope and the promise is freedom. Promise is freedom. And I was given the freedom to give myself that break. And he told me I can go on as long as I want. We're going to hang out for a minute. So this is what the deal was. I'm not ugly, you guys. Look at me. Sexy. So I don't have a problem communicating, but I'm just not feeling the groove in my area, you know. So, you know, I'm through some friends and connections, I started to social media, and I met this beautiful girl. Beautiful. A soul of a diamond, a jewel. She lived in New Zealand. I've never traveled. I just got my passport. Follow me. I'm just going to world conventions because my sponsor's like, "You better follow my name. Follow like you did your dope. So let's go to conventions." So I started going to world conventions. So I meet this girl in New Zealand, and we're just talking. You know, I could talk to girls, and like once you have, you know, sex or whatever, I'm like, "Ooh, could she leave? Ooh, I need her." I want to be alone with the fellas now, you know. But that's why I knew I had to stay single. But when I met this girl in New Zealand, the conversations went on for like 30, 40, 50 minutes, and it just felt like 2 minutes. And I just felt a connection with her. So this story is a trip, you guys. I've never been married. I've never had a serious relationship. And this girl is halfway around the world, and I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? And I'm telling myself, and at this time I got a lot of girls in San Diego, "Be with me, I'm rich, I got money." But, and they had the money, and the disease is like, she's loaded with cash. Do it for the money. And I'm like, I got standards today. I'm not going to do it for the money. I'm not. Before I used to, for $20. Now I'm not doing it for the bank account that's six. I'm not doing it. I'm staying true. So what I'm doing is, and then I got beautiful girls, and then this and that, and I'm waiting. And I meet this girl in New Zealand, and then we connected. She came to speak in San Diego, and we connect. She stayed here for 3 weeks with me. We got along, and then she went back to New Zealand. I'm all crying, "I miss you, we're doing..." My boys are like, "Let's go to the movies." I'm like, "I can't, I got date night." They're like, "Date night?" They're like, "You don't got a girlfriend." I was like, "I got a girlfriend in New Zealand. Remember that girl that came to San Diego? She spoke, well, we do this thing on, you know, Skype, and we have, you know, she has her food, I have my food." They're like, "Dog, you've lost your mind, bro. You've lost it. You're a date night with Skype, some imaginary girl." Whatever, dude. So I fly to New Zealand, and I'm with her, and I'm hanging out, and she's taking me to her parents, her sisters. I'm like, "Oh, she's overdoing it. Oh, this is too much of a load for me." And I just really connect. I'm an introvert. I know it doesn't sound like because I'm up here. I'd rather be sitting in a chair right there listening to somebody else. But hey, these are the cards this week. So here I am. And then I'm going to close with this, you guys. This is the kicker. This is the lick. You ready for this one? Here it is. I go to New Zealand and I have the time of my life. And then I fly back and I'm like, I can't believe I just came from New Zealand. So me and this girl started to connect. Newcomer, there's some hope here. Here's the kicker. She goes, what do you want to do with this relationship? And I'm thinking, well, I'm a business owner here in San Diego. You're a registered RN professional in New Zealand. You won't have a problem finding a job here in the States. I think I'll have a little bit more of a struggle trying to reinvent the whole business deal in New Zealand. What do you think about coming here? She was like, sounds sweet. I'll do it. I closed it, you guys. Woo! Everybody's like, I scored on my girl from L.A. I'm like, mine came from New Zealand. What? Anyway, you guys, I want to introduce you to her. Her name's Annie. She's sitting right there. Come on, honey, stand up. Anything is possible in Narcotics Anonymous. I love my wife. And the way I treat her is like this. I want to tell her how my day went at the end of the day. But I respectfully wait and I let her tell me how her day went. I get resentful because the trash is not on, the dishes are not made, and I do the surrender prayer and I wash the dishes. I got a stepson, he came from New Zealand. The kid is 17 years old, 6'6". And he's my stepson and I love him to death. And we live as a family here in San Diego, and our life is incredible. And you guys, newcomers and people with multiple debts. You guys are big hitters with multiple years here. I saw the clean time. I was like, I'm not getting up there. But anyway, man, you guys told me that anything is possible, and that lost dreams awaken, and any possibilities arise. Anything is possible in Narcotics Anonymous, you guys, okay? Anything. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me the opportunity to come and share my message, the message of hope. And thank you for giving me a life. And I buried my mom, and she loves me, and I kept my promise. I still do H&I. Thank you for letting me share.